AWR.
So you may find him driving a Mercedes-Benz, not knowing that, and you think, okay, this guy is definitely the one happening, not knowing that he's just inherited dead father.
Yep.
And then there's no future. Then there's a guy who's walking, who's got a vision, he wants to go somewhere. But then I also throw in a caution there to say, don't just marry a vision. Because if somebody's telling you, say, why do you see yourself 5 years from now? I see myself with a PhD, a business. There should be something today that shows you that they are on their way to a PhD. If somebody's saying, I want a PhD 5 years from now, this guy doesn't have a matric for you guys there, doesn't have a bachelor's degree, how in the world are you getting PhD in 5 years? So there must be small things that even today indicate to say, looking at this small benchmark, this guy is going where he says he's going.
This and more on Mid-Morning Empowerment, only on Adventist World Radio. Powered by SID Media.
But don't just date a vision. Don't just marry a vision. Anyway, as we call up, the time has just gone. 7 minutes. Okay, let me compose myself. 7 minutes past 11 o'clock. I remember that conversation beautifully. They're saying that nah, it's not just about you may be driving, you will fall for a person with a Mercedes Benz. No, bambolegile, you know, so you must. Okay, let me bring in for this. Pastor Michael Mafor, how are you?
Now I don't know. Maybe I should join you in the laughing. Now I prepared a very serious presentation. Now you are laughing. I don't know what to do now.
I don't know, like, I played that promo, right? And Umfundisi, he's saying, don't just go for him because he's driving a Mercedes Benz and you are snubbing the one who's walking. Can't the one who's walking actually has great potential? So I'm just thinking.
Anyway, good morning to you and good morning to the listeners.
Good morning, Umfundisi. How are you?
I'm fine.
I am good. So we have come to the end of our conversation about heaven and hell. We've established what hell is, what heaven is, heaven on earth, hell on earth, you know, some of those sayings that we have, the state of the dead, but we are encouraged. I know that as the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that we must be excited for the new world. So we're going to be looking at that, Mundiswami, and what is to come. So we are told we shouldn't actually be scared of death, but me, I won't lie, I am scared of death. So before we start, Pastor, please pray for us.
It's a good thing I have Pastor Daryl here with me, so he's going to pray for us.
Oh, yay! Why didn't you tell me he's here?
Shall we pray?
Yes, please.
Once again, Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. And as we discuss your word, we ask that, Lord, that may someone be edified and may we grow in faith. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Okay, so both of you are there, so you will both be answering questions. Anyway, astalenila. So after all is said, after everything is all said and done, Mpundiswami, we are told that there is a new earth that is going to come. Can you please elaborate on that? What is this new earth? Where is it coming from? Where is it now, if it's coming?
Right. Thank you very much. I didn't expect you to say that. But anyway, thank you very much. So what is happening here is, remember from what we said or where we left yesterday, when we were dealing with the new heaven and the new earth, we were saying that God is going to cause fire to come down and it is going to consume all the wicked. Now, when the wicked are consumed, all of them, when they are consumed, this earth is going to be ruined because of that fire or the lake of fire that is going to be all over on planet Earth. So planet Earth is not going to be a habitable place. It's not going to be a place where anyone can live, because the fury of God and the punishment of God is going to be so hard and so hard on the Earth that it is literally going to deform the Earth. Listen to my English. Deform the Earth and return it back to its form before creation. Remember Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says, okay, I normally memorize it from verse 1, so picking it from verse 2 is becoming a struggle. But anyway, Genesis 1 verse 2 says, and the earth was without form, right? It was without form. Mm-hmm. And there was darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered upon the waters. Now, that aspect of it being the abusos in the in the Hebrew, the deep or deformed. It's going to be deformed because the punishment of God is so going to be so. I don't know if you have seen a plastic container when it is thrown into the fire.
Yes.
It loses shape. It loses form. It becomes deformed. So planet Earth is going to be deformed. But then when sin has been dealt with and the devil has been destroyed, God is going to remake, or he's going to create heaven and earth. He's going to create a new earth. So it's not an earth that is going to come, but it is still this particular earth, but it is going to be created anew. And then we are going to live in the new earth.
Mfundisi, wait. School fees time now. So here we are. We are having this earth, right? And then you are saying that when all of that is said and done, and then the fire comes down, this one is going to be basically burnt to ashes. Because I'm imagining now with my mind how big the fire is going to be, but then it's going to be burnt to ashes, or it's going to be burnt. Some parts will still be intact, but not really intact, but then deformed. And then you are saying that God is now going to recreate that one. So he's still going to take another 6 days again to say, let there be.
Well, we don't know how long it's going to take, by the way. We don't know whether it's going to be another 6 days. I don't know. But there's something I want to draw your attention to. Remember what Revelation says in Revelation chapter 21, in verse 1. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, the fire is going to be so much that it is going to drink all the sea. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's going to remove the whole sea. Is going to dry. That's how powerful this fire. It's not your ordinary candle fire, the one that you have on your candle. It's not the gas fire where you have got your meals when your kitchen in the house. No, this is different. This is a hell fire that is going to come down from the throne of God, and it is going to destroy the whole earth. Now, when it destroys the whole earth is not going to be habitable. God will have to make it new. And by the way, let me just stray a little. You know what is happening here on earth with the whole global warming and stuff like that?
Yes.
The Bible says in the book of Revelation that God is going to destroy those who destroy the earth, because this earth is already decaying. It's decomposing. I don't have a proper word for it. It's slowly degrading, and it's moving at a fast rate. It's going down. It's degrading. It's dilapidating. I don't know which other word I can use. So because the earth is no longer the same as Adam and Eve when they were created, this earth is now a dangerous place to actually live. If you look here in Johannesburg, where we are, just a few weeks ago, there was an explosion which cannot be explained.
10 plus 4.
Yes. You know, but I'm just saying the place is no longer habitable. And all of a sudden from nowhere, there's snow. You know, in a place where there is not supposed to be snow, then there is snow. And then, can you imagine the fact, then we have heat waves. We were hit by heat waves last year, around this time, or towards September. There was a lot of heat waves. So this earth in itself is no longer habitable because of the way that people have been handling this earth, and because of how sinful man has been living on planet Earth. So when finally God destroys this earth, and he destroys with the wicked and the devil included, he is going to make a new earth. So we may not know whether he's going to say, let there be the sun, and then we will, it will be one day, evening comes and morning comes, then tomorrow he will say, no, we don't know. Whether he will create all of them on one day, we don't know. But all we know is that God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to definitely make this place a brand new place, and we are going to be, I don't know, Daryl, what do you think?
One thing you must understand also is, where are you getting your fuel right now?
Okay.
You're getting your oil underground.
Mm-hmm.
After the flood, the trees became cold. You are walking on the fuel that will fuel that fire.
Mm.
Underneath the earth is the lava. So when we are talking about fire coming down, that fire does not mean it's only coming from, you know, heaven only. You're literally staying. You built your house on the fuel. This whole earth shall be done away with, and so shall sin. How do we know this? Remember when the floods came, the water came from above, but the fish didn't survive because the temperature of the water was changed by the fire from the ground.
Yeah.
So everything that we do, we must understand that God is trying to annihilate and finish sin. Then the new heaven comes down, the original plan. While we see that bottle in the fire, it's still a bottle, but it's deformed. Then God says, as it's melted, he then remolds it into what it was originally supposed to be. So that's the mindset we should have, that right now, currently, you are building your house on fuel. You are walking on fuel. And that's why the stick blew up and you have no explanation. It's because you've always been walking on fuel. The earth is ready to be burnt. Why God has not burnt it yet? It's because me and you are not ready. You see, he wants to burn the sin. But me and you have such a good relationship with sin. We're next door neighbors. He wants to blow up the next door neighbor, but you seem to be visiting, having a cup of tea. So he says, come out of her, my people. Out of where? Your neighbor's house. The tea. Come up with the tea. In fact, come up with the cup. But we are waiting for supper. And we're dining with it. And now our children are now playing with our next door neighbors. But God has an agenda. So he says, there will come a time where I can't wait no more.
So coming back to the book of Revelation 21, Mfundiswami, my pastors, Abafundis, I have to register you are two, Abafundiswami, I see the verse 2, it says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So because here it's saying that he saw the new Jerusalem coming up from heaven, are we to understand that this is where Jesus said he's going to go and prepare many mansions? Is that what he is currently preparing now, that is going to come down into the new earth?
Let's read the verse correctly, Zanele. I believe you're making reference to John chapter 14.
John, let me
John
open.
Chapter four. I like the way you run away from that.
John 14. Chapter 14, verse 1. Verses and 2. 1. Okay.
Yeah, let's read it clearly. It says, or slowly, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, right? Then verse 2, he says, and I know most people have not been reading this verse correctly, especially even verse 1, they don't read correct. But anyway, we're on verse 2. It says, in my Father's house. So the Father has a house already.
Okay.
Then it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, there is what we call a house, and there is what we call a mansion. Now, literally, you cannot have a mansion inside the house. Are you following?
Yes, Mina Pell, I'm reading NIV, so I'm reading differently from what you are reading.
Okay, it's fine. Read. What does it say?
Okay, it says, there are two. In my Father's house are many rooms. Yeah, if it do not...
It's fine. Are many rooms. Right?
Yes.
Yes, we continue. Yes, so that I comment once because of our time. Yes.
If it were not so, I would not have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you...
Forget that one.
Okay.
Now, he's going to prepare a place for us.
When we are saying,
in my Father's house are many rooms, and he's going to prepare a place, he's not going to build a place. The place is already there. The rooms are already there, and there are many. Than is, okay, but what he's going to prepare, or what he's saying, what he means by saying I'm going to prepare, he's saying I'm going to make arrangements with the Father so that you can be accepted into that house.
It doesn't mean that he's busy putting linen and curtains and stuff like that.
No, it means that he is going to make sure that your character and my character are going to fit to belong to that particular house. Right now, when you are a Zama, Mina, I'm a Maforo, right? But now, if you are going to come into the Maforo clan, let me not say that because your husband might not understand me.
The Zama clan. The Zama clan.
If you are going to go to your husband's house, what he normally does is that he has to go to his family, speak to his father, speak to his uncles, so that they can prepare a place for you. It doesn't mean they're building a room for you, but they are preparing room for you. That's English that I just spoke like this.
Bon.
They are not building a room for you, but they are preparing room for you so that you can be accepted into this family. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that when you come, you are accommodated because now you have a belonging. You now become part and parcel of them. In the same sense, when Christ says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, he's going to stand before the Father and he's going to intercede on our behalf before the Father so that he becomes our advocate who defends us when the enemy accuses us why we are not fit for that particular house. So he is preparing our hearts. He is preparing our characters. He's preparing everything that we are so that where he is, we may be also. So what I want you to understand is that heaven is a real place.
Yeah.
I need to buttress that point. It's a real physical place. Number two, this heaven, which is a real and physical place, cannot be inherited just like that. You need to have a character that is perfect and fit for heaven. Excuse me. When that character has been created in you, Christ is going to come and he is going to take us to heaven. But when we get there, we will get there for 1,000 years. Now, what are we doing during that 1,000 years? Are you following with me, Zam? Now, what are we doing during that 1,000 years? In the 1,000 years that we spend in heaven, remember, the Bible says that we are going to judge the angel. According to Corinthians, we are going to judge the angels. When we get to heaven, there will be many people that are not going to be in heaven, who used to be our loved ones or people that we used to know. And sometimes some of them are going to be pastors that are not going to make it to heaven. So when we finally go there, we are going to go like, hi, Mantico, this doesn't make any sense. Why is it that Pastor so-and-so is not in heaven? Or why is it that my mother or my father or my friend so-and-so is not in heaven? Why is it that these other prominent people who we thought were going to make it to heaven, why is it that they are not in heaven? So for the 1,000 years, we are going to be, God is going to answer all the questions that we have ever had about him and about heaven and about why certain people are not in heaven. So he's going to give us, if you read Revelation 20, says the books were opened. So we're going to look into the books, because every day as you leave, Zanele, when you wake up in the morning, there is an angel, your guardian angel, that writes down or that records your life with terrible exactness.
Oh,
and records everything that you are doing with terrible exactness. When we're saying with terrible exactness, they will explain that right now you have got headphones that you have put
Jesus.
On, and those headphones, they were bought by so-and-so, and the very first person to put them on his head was Elder Sipo when he was still alive, and he used them at 4:10. It's recorded with terrible exactness. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there are some people who will not be in heaven. God, he has got to give us that, because we need to say, we need to reach a level where we say, God, your justice or your judgment is just. What you, your decision not to allow these people into heaven is a real decision. So God says, according to me, I think you are the ones who are supposed to be in heaven. But now, according to the records I have, this is the reason why so-and-so is not in heaven. You can check the records for yourself. For the 1,000 years, we're going to check the records of human beings. We're going to check the records of the fallen angels. At the end of the 1,000 years, we are all going to sound with one voice and we will say, indeed, based on the evidence that we have, we are going to play the jury. And we are going to say, God, your decision is a just decision.
Yeah.
Then when that is done, the 1,000 years are over, Jesus is going to descend with us in the holy city from heaven. And we are going to come down to planet Earth, where the devil is going to be released from his prison for 1,000 years, as we explained yesterday. And the wicked are going to be resurrected. And when they resurrect now, the fire is going to come down from the throne of God in heaven and consume them. The devil will be cast down on the fire and he is going to be consumed. When that has happened, then God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, by new earth, what are we going to be doing in the new earth? Life is going to continue just as it was.
I've lost Mfundis as he was busy talking about the new earth.
I don't know if you get what I mean.
Yes, yes, we had lost you then, Mfundis, so I'm a bit, but you are back. I have a question now. So we are saying that for the 1,000 years, 1,000 years, we are not going to be, 1,000 years. We're not going to be here. Yeah. Some of us, Pillar, we count ourselves amongst those. We are going to be in heaven, right? Asking God, God, for example, explain them Trinity part. Explain yourselves or yourself. Why is so-and-so not here and so forth, right? So at this particular time, Mpundiswami, are we then understanding that the devil, he will be now ruling this particular earth. He will be running amok and doing all of these nasty things. And then after the thousand years, then fire is going to come from heaven, destroying the devil and these people here before the new one comes. I'm trying to understand where, if it comes when the fire of Satan is here, won't that burn? I'm trying to see the science in my head.
Yes, as we descend from heaven in the new Jerusalem, it is going to be, God is going to allow us on a very comfortable position for the fire to come down from him, from the throne of God, to come down on planet Earth, where the wicked are. And it is going to consume the wicked. While the wicked are being consumed, obviously the devil is going to be thrown into that lake of fire as well. And he is going to burn. When the devil and his angels and the wicked burn, because remember, we are not going to feel sorry for them, because remember, we have evidence during the 1,000 years why they are not in heaven. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when they burn, they are going to burn completely. And the earth is going to lose form, and God will have to recreate it again in our presence. When he recreates it again in our presence, then life is going to continue from that moment onwards. But this life, I want to explain that it's not going to be church every day. I don't know how I can explain it. But the way we live, remember, here on earth, we are living a righteous life.
Yeah.
It's not like we are living church every day, but everything that we do not steal, we do not kill, we do not commit adultery, we keep the law of God. In fact, the law of God is our character. So even in that new earth now, our character is going to be similar to that of God. The way we live, the way we act, the way we do things, every day is going to be a holy life, because we have chosen to be holy. But the beauty is that there will be no more pain. There will be no more tears. Because all those things would have passed away. No one is going to steal anything from you. No one is going to kill anyone. No one is going to lie. No one is going... All those things that hurt us are not going to exist, because they die together with the wicked.
Mm. Pastor Darrell, let me bring you in here. Should we, who think we are righteous, I always try to shy away from putting it guaranteed that, you know, should we who think that we are righteous be excited about this new earth, not have fear about death? Because most of us, we are scared about dying because we don't know what happens after death. Should we now be at ease saying that, as much as, yeah, now we're going to die and then sleep, when all is said and done, we are going to be in this beautiful earth that Pastor Maforo has just described now, where there's no sorrow, there's no hurting and everything. Others, they would even add that there's milk and honey and beautiful grapes. Should we be comforted?
There is one thing I've learned. It's that we can never be prepared to die to self every day.
Mm-hmm.
The moment we get prepared is the moment where we say we've arrived. We can never arrive. You have to die to self every day.
Mm.
I don't know what my next 5 minutes is going to be like.
Yep.
I don't know who I'm going to argue with. I don't know what moment of death and when death will find me.
Mm.
It means I should be ready. What am I taking to heaven? I'm not taking my body.
Mm.
In a twinkling of an eye, this body must be changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm changing my character.
Mm.
Your character is who you are in the dark.
Mm.
What you're doing every single day.
Mm.
Remember, when we are watching the New Jerusalem come down, those who have been resurrected with the devil, everyone is going to be shown the opportunity they could have repented, the opportunity they didn't repent, the opportunity they could have gone to a venue where they could have been stimulated to repent. Those are the things that you are judged by. The knowledge you could have had, the knowledge you could have had but you refused to have, the knowledge you could have had but you refused to go to the venue where you could have had it. That's how God will judge us. Hmm. So we can never get to a point of arrival to say, we're ready. We're never going to be ready. So we die to self. Then an hour without prayer. An hour without prayer. So we've got to be in the prayer without ceasing doesn't mean that kneel everywhere. Mm-hmm. It means you must be in an environment of prayer in case death finds you in that space.
Aye.
In case. When I say in case, I'm saying even when you're doing right, a building can just fall and you're the only one who dies. Mm. Be in the environment of prayer. In your car. It doesn't be, don't live with people. I'm saying let your environment, your aura, be an environment where we can pray.
Mm.
If you don't carry that aura, you can never even welcome the Sabbath. If you can't help welcome the Sabbath, how are you going to welcome New Jerusalem?
Mm.
If you can't follow Christ, why would you want to go stay with him? Don't you think it's a problem or it's a burden to you to stay with the Christ that you can't follow? And don't you think it's unfair for God to take you to a heaven that you don't really like? So in his mercy, he's going to say, don't wake up. So God must remain good. So we must understand that we can't arrive to this place on our own. And I don't know if I can say anyone has gotten to this place where they feel so at peace that they know for sure they are going to heaven. I don't know if Moses knows he's going to heaven when he died. I don't know. I don't know if Ellen White knows she's going to heaven. I don't know if the fathers of faith know they're going. I don't know if David knows.
Mm.
I don't know who knows. But it's only after the process when Moses dies that we find that God takes his body. So I don't think we should arrive and say, I'm righteous enough now, I'm ready. Because we can never be ready.
Heavy preparation day, Pastor.
Okay, let us pray then. Is that okay?
Ah, you wait. Last one. In the new earth, are we going to age, or are we gonna remain?
Age, or are we gonna remain
the age in which we are?
The age in which we are.
Yes. Let me say this. In the new earth that is coming, we are going to definitely grow up. Yeah, like Pastor saying, grow up, not grow old. We're gonna grow. Remember, the Bible tells us that we're going to eat of the leaves of the tree of life, which is of the healing of the nations, and then. When we grow up, as Pastor will say, we're not going to develop any wrinkles. We're not going to have any form of body deformation as we have it. And I've always said, the fact that you have got wrinkles is a sign that our bodies are dying.
Mm.
You get it? As the hair turning into white is a sign that our bodies are dying. In fact, every day we go and bath, it's a sign that our body is slowly dying. But when we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good, I mean of the tree of life, we are going to have a regeneration. It is going to perpetuate our eternity, and we are going to live forever, and we are not going to die. And I think that is a beautiful thing, to be able to live forever. Without any, and by the way, there is no marriage in the new heaven and the new earth. So we are going to be just as we are. Whoever is the last person to be born will be the last person to be born. We're going to continue our lives as God had intended them from the very beginning.
Okay, there's a feedback coming.
I'm hearing myself back.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now that is better.
Yeah. Okay. Now that is better.
Even this is not. I can still hear myself.
I can still hear myself.
Okay. Let me close this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, it's yes. clean. It's okay. Yes, it's better. It's fine. Let me just ask the question. So, as we wrap up, you are saying that there is no marriage in heaven. So, us who are married, are we now to enjoy that service fully? Now, because there's no.
Yes, when I no stand, you must enjoy it to the last.
Yes!
Because when Jesus comes, we are going to be like angels. We'll be buddies. Like, hey, buddy, what's up? We are all going to be brothers and sisters and nothing else. We're going to be living like angels. Hey? And so, not that there will be any need of that. That urgency and that need is not going to exist. Because remember, one of the primary reasons for that it was for us to procreate so that we can repopulate heaven as well. So whatever number is going to be saved, God will be more than satisfied. Should he decide to create other people, well, that's God. He will do whatever he wants to do. But what I do know is that we are not going to marry or give in marriage. We're going to live like angels.
Thank you, Pastor Darrell.
Thank you, Pastor
Makoro. One of you can pray for us, as I see my husband is super excited because of that answer. So please pray for us.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for today. Thank you for the study we had throughout the week. We pray that it was a blessing to somebody, and it will create even a spirit of readership so that we can learn more. We thank you for the lives of the people in this world. Continue to whisper in their hearts so that they may be saved, so that none of them may be lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Happy Preparation Day, my pastors, and have yourself a blessed Sabbath tomorrow.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and bye.
To our listeners at home, that was Pastor Michael Maforo there, as well as Pastor Darrell Katusha. They surprised me. I didn't expect that they're together. But yes, they were able to answer those ones nicely. Then, Zwila, there is no marriage in heaven. So if you are married, do it every day. Every day, but to your heart's content. So yes, that is how we're coming to the end of this musical, beautiful discussion on heaven and earth.
AWR.
I want to urge everyone who is listening right now, besides desiring to see the suffering ending, desire to have the mind of Christ. And by carrying the mind of Christ, you understand and you'll be able to put the sufferings under your feet and control them. Because some of the sufferings, which you are saying sufferings, are not actually meant to suffer us, but they are meant to exalt God and His glory.
This and more on Mid-Morning Empowerment, only on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.